Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, glad you could join us this morning. This is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill here.
Yes, and this is a little bit younger, Don Jordan here.
Don Jordan.
And this is a little bit younger yet, but not really, because next week it's all over for me.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, you turn 60 next
60
week?
Next week.
Ooh.
He's still a kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still a kid, though.
I hear you guys would trade me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do that.
All right, well, I'll try to remember that, but, you know.
Yeah, try to remember it, yeah.
You kind of... Pretty big milestone.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's cool enough this morning. I believe all the mosquitoes went south.
Hey, it's 50 degrees right now, and it will be high of only 69 today.
I heard 40. Well, I saw 47 on my thermometer at home when I got
up. Could be
out
of town a little bit cooler.
You probably could have been.
Yeah, it was a little nip in the air.
I had 50, but... it ain't daylight yet either.
Yeah.
And it always drops a little more.
It does. Darkest hours is always before dawn, and so is the coldest.
Yep, it sure is. But anyway, we've had a pretty decent week this week. At least we haven't burned up.
That's true.
And
beautiful days.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. This weather here is ideal.
This is what you want to – this is the when you want to be in Indiana.
Oh, is this one when you want to be in Indiana?
Yeah, September, October, just cannot be beat. It's also, you know, the fishing usually gets pretty good as it cools off. And,
that's when they start getting good then. Yeah, that old water starts dropping there. What is it, 78 degrees yet?
Almost 79.
Still, well, of course, we've had some pretty hot weather up until the last week.
That's right.
So it's going to take a little while for it to cool down.
And what's it say on the water level there?
538.1.
So that's low, high? What,
that's 538 is normal.
That's the normal,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
So it's running normal as far as the depth and stuff. And 79 degrees, that's getting up there.
And we're basically... We're out of dissolved oxygen by the time you get to 25 feet.
Yeah.
Out of it. And we're down to 3 parts per milligrams per liter. That's what, milligrams per liter. We're down to 3.1 at 20 feet.
20 feet.
Right. So if you're in a fish, you want to stick around that first 5 feet of water, you know, right now anyway.
Well, my boys from Lafayette, they haven't been down this fall yet. When you mentioned that, I just happened to think. They pulled out and went back home and took their boat and stuff when it started getting 90 degrees and 95.
Yeah, well.
And said they'd be back this fall, but they haven't been back. So I don't know. I just happened to think of that when you said that, and I'm going to have to check on them and see what's going on.
Well, I told you before the show started that I went to the meeting of the Friends of Lake Monroe.
Yeah, that sounded interesting.
Yes, it was. It was interesting. There was a lot of old warriors there. You may remember Cheryl Munson from the county council was there.
Well, yeah, I know her.
And she was, going to be helpful. It looks like, and a lot of other IU grads from the past.
Hey, we're going to have to talk about that in just a second. We're about to take a break.
Okay.
Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It is now 48 degrees in downtown Bloomington, looking in for a high of about 69 today. And you're listening to Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. Yeah,
hey,
we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're back already. And we was talking about, what was we talking about?
We're talking about the Friends of Lake Monroe meeting here.
Yeah, Friends of Lake Monroe.
Thursday night. And that's headed by a woman named Sherry Mitchell Brooker, who, until she moved back to Bloomington, worked at Everglades National Park down in South Miami. And there were several other people there from the past. You remember the Citizens Action Coalition and in Indiana Public Interest Research Group. There was a couple of ladies there from that, and that was back in the 70s. And some students that helped them put out the fish structures that we were just talking about. This southern fisheries biologist was supervising a program where they plant fish structures to attract and give fish a place to hide. And she pointed out that the reason why they have to do this, or the reason why they're doing it, is because we had about 3 years in a row, you'll remember them, when the water was way high, you know, 18 feet.
Yeah, they got pretty high.
That killed a lot of, most of the vegetation,
right,
all of the lotus pad areas, and leaving, you know, no place for the fish to spawn, no place for the young fish to hide, no structure for them to hold on, you know, because Monroe originally was mostly fields. There were some woods, but minimal, and there left no tree stumps and whatnot, except in a few places. And so this is their attempt. You know, fishermen have been doing this on
all along for you,
right,
since it was built.
That's right. And she said, as she pointed out, you know, well, you can take your Christmas tree out there and sink it, you know, you're supposed to report it to the DNR, but nobody does. And she says that Christmas tree isn't going to do any good, you know, because they disappear pretty quick. And one Christmas tree is not going to provide a lot of habitat. They've seen people dump tires, you know, and weighted with concrete blocks and lots of other things. And they wish that you'd just come down and help. They make them out of pallets. They make these fish structures out of pallets that people give them, and other stray lumber that they can get their hands on. They also have a plastic one made out of plastic white PVC and then drainage. Tile, that black drainage stuff, woven in among it. So, you know, there's several different types, and they're putting, right now they've put 200, and I believe the number was 294 of those in that big flat off of the mouth of Saddle Creek in the upper end. And if there was ever a place that needed some fish structure, that's it, because it's like a desert out there. And so, you know, that's a good thing. It's not costing us anything, you know.
Right.
And they said that they've got the DNR to drop the $7 fee if you come down and volunteer to either help them clean up or help them put out fish structures. So you don't have to pay the $7 fee to get in at paint. Which is good. And we got other things. They have other things in the works, and somebody is going to be watching the water quality in Lake Monroe for sure in this next coming year. That'll end decades of not watching the water quality.
Right. No,
of Lake Monroe.
No control over it whatsoever.
That's right. So got to give these folks a hand. I really had an interesting evening there with them. And, big piece of news come out of this. I mentioned this before the show. Hoosier National Forest Supervisor, Mr. Chavez, Mike, I think, had told them that they were going to begin a 5,000-acre logging project in the upper end of what we call Middle Fork, but they call South Fork. So, you know, where you turn there at Grubbs Point to go up that part of Lake Monroe, mm-hmm. It'll be up in the end of that 5,000 acres. It's a three-stage project where they cut underbrush, then the trees that aren't as valuable, and then the big veneer trees, you know, the oaks and whatnot. And it's going to take 3 years. And of course, the folks at the Friends of Lake Monroe were concerned about sedimentation and hope that they can get them to install some better sedimentation rules.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of sediment coming in.
Yeah, in an area that is already
don't need it. Yeah.
Right, you can barely it's like quicksand out
right.
there. Actually, you know,
if you don't stay in the channel, that little creek channel, you're maybe a sunk duck.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, so I ought to look up. I wish I had. I do have something here. If you're interested in doing anything with this group, Friends of Lake Monroe, okay, they don't really have a contact telephone number on their information that they've sent out here, but while we go through the program, I'll look one up for you and tell it to you here in a little bit.
Okay, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Because we need these people to get interested in it and get the quality of the water back up to where it should be.
Yes, you remember that figure that they talked about here a few weeks ago, saying that Lake Monroe had failed its water quality test for the 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that it's actually 7 years in a row.
7 years
in a row. And it's the Indiana Department of Environmental Management figure. They come down once a year and test Lake Monroe. And that's their finding, that we failed the water quality. And that's turbidity is our main problem. In other words, it's
7 years and no one's even mentioned it or tried to do anything or nothing.
Well, you know, until there's somebody that can pull it all together. You know, it's four or five government agencies working on their own, but you know, not paying any attention to the others. And I'm surprised that the Corps of Engineers, which just seems to let everything go at Monroe. I mean, they're not really very as strict at all, like I've seen them in other places. And
I don't quite understand the Corps.
Well, they turned it over to Indiana.
That was the worst thing they could have done.
Well, that's exactly right. You're right, Bill. They turned it over to Indiana, and we're like 48th in worst environment in the country.
Right.
We're discharging more toxic chemicals than anybody into the Ohio River. And so, yeah, you're right. Turning it over to Indiana was not a
good idea.
Not a good idea.
And, of course, it was built, we all know, as a floodplain only.
Yes.
It wasn't built for recreation.
Well, that's right. It's just like the Forest Service. They say that there's no mention of fish in their master plan for the forest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, it's a mess and it needs to be cleaned up.
Well, we've been suffering. It's been getting worse as our time here has gone by, and we've got between us, 80 years of experience at Lake
mm-hmm.
Monroe, 90 years. Maybe you probably got more than that since you're from down there. And it's just kind of sad to see it deteriorating so much.
It is. And, I mean, that's our water supply. We're drinking that water. That's what gets me. I mean, you can drink so much chlorine and alum and stuff, but boys, that's not good for your system either.
Well, that's true, but you know, actually, you know, the water that I get at my house is pretty good. I can't complain about it. Although one of my neighbors had black water yesterday.
Oh Lord!
Had black water coming out of her faucet, and the utility company came out and said, "Well, maybe that was the fire plug. We'll go flush the fire plug." So they went out and flushed the fire plug, and that didn't really stop it. So, you know, she doesn't know why she's getting black water.
I wouldn't have any idea either.
But if you're listening out there today, Jennifer, run your water for 5-10 minutes before you drink any of it.
Oh, Lord,
try
yes.
to use it. You might want to filter it.
It almost has to be coming out of the piping somehow.
Yeah, that's what I'd say, too. Yeah.
But it shouldn't be black, I wouldn't think.
No telling what could cause something like something getting stuck in there somehow.
Yeah.
No.
Run that water.
So water is the limiting factor for growth, and, you know, you'd think all the businessmen would be wanting to clean up that Lake Monroe and make it as pristine as possible, since that's their stake in the future down there.
Yeah.
And it's all of our stake in the future if you're going to live here.
Right.
You know, as much as we need it, people don't think enough about where they get their water. They just take it for granted. And, you know...
Until you don't have it.
I was asked once, you know, if you ran out of money and everything was going to be turned off and you had to keep one on, what would you keep? And most people say, oh, heat. You know, I'd probably keep the heat. But no, if you don't have water, you're in trouble.
Yeah, deep trouble.
Trouble is the number one limiting factor. And, you know, we're fairly lucky here to have a source of water that should be very clean and was for much of its history.
Well, like you say, there's no one really in charge, and they've just let it go, and now we're in the shape we're in.
That's right. That's
right. And no one has really done anything.
Well, something's going to have to happen soon. We hope it happens sooner than later. Hey, we got a shoreline cleanup coming at Lake Monroe on Wednesday, October the 17th.
October 17th.
4 p.m. at Paintown. Bring your gloves.
Bring gloves. You may have to bring an overcoat, too.
And at October 17th.
Yeah, that's getting frosty time.
It'll be pretty. About guaranteed that you'll have a pretty day.
You think the leaves will be turning yet?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Well, it used to be the 15th, and now it seems to be the 20th.
Yeah, it's moving.
Hey, time for a break, guys.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and don't go away. Leave your radio on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. Listening to WFHB. We're volunteer-powered community radio down here at downtown Bloomington at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, online at WFHB.org. Hey, if you notice, everything's pretty blocked off downtown, but it's a good time being had by all at the Lotus Festival, and you can come right here on 4th Street and check us out at WFHB. We're at 4th and College, and this great little stage right outside here. It is now 48 degrees in downtown Bloomington. It will be 69 today, high of 77 on Sunday, 79 Monday, 79 Tuesday, and 81 on Wednesday. So it's going to warm up just a little bit at the end of next week. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. And we got a lot more to talk about here.
We do.
And we got a phone number here, too.
That's right.
812-323-1200.
Yes.
That's our number. Call us if you have any questions or got anything, information to pass on or whatever. Give us a call at 812-323-1200.
Yes, and those of you who said you or talked to me at this meeting last Thursday night, I wish one of you would call in and tell us a little more about your organization.
Yeah, so. It'd be interesting to just see what all the we're working on, and
a contact number, you know.
Yeah, contact number. You haven't found that yet, I guess.
No, I guess I don't have one here.
Well, that's too bad. But
it is too bad. I usually wouldn't get away without one of those, but they didn't have. I thought that would be in their handouts, but no, there is no.
I'd have thought there would have been one there of some kind.
Well, I know they would want us to have one. So if anybody from the Friends of Lake Monroe is listening, call in and give us a contact number so that all these people that want to volunteer out there listening to us can do so.
Yeah. That's the only way we're going to get volunteers.
That's
give,
right.
Give them a number to call.
That's absolutely right. One more tidbit from this Lake Monroe meeting was the Southern District Fisheries Supervisor, who is now, her name is Sandra Colax Clark, hyphenated, Colax Clark.
Don't know her again.
She was talking about the questions about walleyes and wipers at Lake Monroe, which, you know, they added them supplemental stockings of those for the last many years now. And they, in studying, they found out that the walleyes weren't eating the wipers, but the wipers were eating the walleyes. So they stopped this year stocking additional hybrids and are just going to stock walleyes now for the next few years and see if that helps increase the size of the bluegills and crappies and whatnot, which I guess the wipers don't eat the bluegills and crappies so much, but they do eat
the
walleyes and shad, you know.
Mercy.
So that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
And she also added that there is no reproduction of the walleyes at Lake Monroe. You know, for a while there were some questions about maybe they were seen going up Saddle Creek as if to spawn, you know. Well, I guess not. You know, there has no evidence that they have spawned, even though they might go up there and try or work at it. There's something wrong, probably sediment.
Well, we was talking about sediment. Look at Yellowwood.
Yeah, look at Yellowwood.
What happened there when they cut all the trees and stuff?
Oh, and still cutting.
And still cutting. And the lake still filling in.
Yes.
And they dredged it out.
Well, they only dredged a trench in.
Yeah, that's all they done.
They didn't really dredge it for fish. They just dredged it so that they could have water.
So you can see right there, you can get a good example of what's happening to Lake Monroe.
Well, that's right. And anybody want to talk about this? Maybe you got some good news that you can cheer us up with this morning.
Yeah, there you go.
That's 812-323-1200. Call us.
Yeah, well, we'd like to hear from you.
What else you got on the news this morning, Bill?
Boys, I don't have a whole lot. I haven't heard much. I was telling you that my boys hadn't come down from Lafayette. They always come down in the fall. They went home when it got up 95 and took their boat and said they'd be back, but I'm going to have to check on them and see. Of course, I haven't talked to anybody who's been catching much down there at all.
Well, it's that time of the year when the water inversion, you start thinking about the inversion taking place, but it's not yet, obviously. But
it should be not very long.
Yeah, it could be any time when we start getting this cold weather. Usually it's pretty good crappie fishing this time of year.
Yeah, it's cooling down. Of course, the water hadn't cooled down that much, but the weather's starting to cool down, and the water will come along with it.
It certainly will.
And that's when they really get good.
Well, this is catfish time, too, just about.
Oh, yeah, it's channel catfish time for sure.
Yep.
And big boys are out there waiting, too. There's a lot of big catfish in Lake Monroe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some dandies in there.
Well, I've seen 60 pounders come out of there.
Oh, I have too. Yeah,
so, you know, there could be something bigger than that.
Could very possibly.
You know, 60 pounds is a big catfish.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't expect.
You better have a good line and a good pole.
Your little Snoopy Zebco probably ain't going to do the trick.
Ain't going to get.
No, sir.
It ain't going to do no good on him.
Did you ever have a Snoopy Zebco, Bill?
No, I never.
Did you have them sell them in your store?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were pretty popular for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was, I don't remember what all we did have. I know we had Snoopy and some of them, but I can't remember all the different ones.
Well, I bought a traveling outfit from you once. It was, I think, a Eagle Claw.
Yeah, it probably was.
Had a fly rod, had a fly reel and a spinning reel in it, and different pieces of the rod all fit into this little briefcase like thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know whatever happened to that, but I used it for quite a number of years.
Of course, Zebco comes out with them too, a little rod and reel.
Mm hmm.
And then a little case. And
right. Yes. I remember I had one of those, too. A little tiny rod. Mm-hmm. Reel.
Yeah, I still got mine. I throw it in the car when I'm going out of state or something.
Yeah, well, we used those for back in the 70s when we were kayak fishing before it was popular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we used those little rods. That
oh,
got
yeah.
Got them just for that because they'd real easy to carry them in a kayak.
Right.
And yeah, well, there's plenty of those out there now, I suspect, of
yeah.
different types.
Yeah, everybody's come out with one.
And you have your fishing kayak now, you can get one with everything on it, including sonar and anchors.
And, the whole works.
You name it, they got it. Mm-hmm. So it's become a very popular sport now. One thing of those of you who might be considering this kayak fishing business is that, you know, these kayaks they're making now are made out of roto-molded plastic, and they're heavy. You know, what would weigh 25, 30 pounds in a fiberglass or Kevlar kayak from the past weighs 50 pounds in a roto-plastic kayak. You got to judge how much you can lift to get it up on top of your car,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying, okay? Something a lot of people don't think about until they go to lift it up there.
Yeah, and then they find out real quick.
That's right. They're pretty heavy. You know, we got archery starting pretty soon.
Yeah. October 1st.
October 1st, next week.
This is Youth Weekend, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I'd forgotten about that. Boy, it's creeping up on us.
Yes, it's all going to be open here before too long.
Yeah. But so archery for deer opens up Saturday, I think.
Next Saturday.
Yeah. Is that October 1st? Whenever October 1st is. I don't even know what the day is.
Well, I do know today because I knew what yesterday was.
Oh, well, I don't even know what yesterday was.
Okay, it's the 29th is today. And
well, it opens up
Monday. That'd make it Monday.
This Monday.
Uh-huh. That would make it Monday.
So archery season is upon us.
And I've seen cars parked in the places where guys park to hunt around
mm-hmm.
where I live. So there's at least some guys out there scouting. And, you know, the turkey season, too.
It'll be coming in.
It's coming, right? If it's not in already, I'm not sure. But it's coming, too. We've seen some turkey boys out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw some down at Hoosier National when we camped down there a couple weeks ago. We saw some guys out turkey scouting. And you know how we knew they were turkey scouting?
How'd you know?
Well, we saw them walking down the road with all of their camouflage on and whatnot. But when we got to the campground, they were camped there, by the way. we heard all this owl hooting.
Uh-huh.
This owl was hooting for 15 minutes. And I've never known an owl to hoot for 15 minutes. It was kind of humorous. Cause I suspect that any turkey that heard that around those areas says, hey, that's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get out of here. Yeah, them turkeys ain't dumb, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, that's a predator on turkeys, owls are. So it supposedly makes the turkey move around when you start hooting like an owl.
Oh, is that what?
Right. It gets them moving, you know, so you have a chance to see them in case they're, you know, just sleeping.
Yeah. Now, what's an owl do? Does they catch the little ones?
They probably catch the big ones, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know, great horned owl, big enough to take care of a turkey.
Well, it's a 25-pound turkey.
I know. They couldn't lift them up.
No, but they could chow down.
they could tear them to pieces. And there was a Facebook post the other day of a barred owl with a dead fox squirrel trying to stuff it into the hole where his babies were, you know. And they got it all in there, but the tail never made it in. So this squirrel was in there being eaten, and his tail still hanging outside.
Poor squirrel.
He was dead. You know, it wasn't like he was alive. So the Mr. Owl had already taken care of that part. They got such powerful claws, you know, their little hands are really strong.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're strong. They're tough.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they got to get their food somehow.
That's right. Well, as Rich has mentioned on the promos here before the show started, this is Lotus Festival weekend in Bloomington.
Yeah, it is.
Where there's a lot of people here from out of town, a lot of bands, different kinds of music. I mean, you can hear just about anything
you want to hear.
You ever want to hear this weekend in Bloomington.
Well, just for those who don't know, it is a world music festival, so that there are basically it's stuff you can't really find almost anywhere unless you're in maybe New York or San Francisco or somewhere like that.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
Well, they had one of those Japanese drumming groups here. I went to one a couple years ago. You've probably seen these Japanese drumming guys before, you know, at least on a James Bond movie or an X-Men movie or something like that. But these are the real deal, and there's, you know, they make some noise. They got some rhythm.
Yeah.
They do. So, that was fairly interesting. And then there's African groups, groups from Muslim countries.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those, actually. And then other groups that defy classification. You know, I can't tell you what kind of group it is. And it's in nearly every place in downtown Bloomington. You pick a street, there's probably something going on from Lotus Festival right now.
Well, 4th Street, we know they are.
Yeah, right.
Because we couldn't find a place to park.
Had to park up the street on in front of the jail.
Yeah.
Old jail. Former jail.
Former jail, yeah.
Babe Thrasher jail.
And then I noticed 5th Street was kind of cut off, too.
Right. And they had signs up on Kirkwood, you know.
I don't know how we'll get out of here. Well, you'll go straight home. I got to turn around somewhere.
I hope Walnut's not shut off down there. I don't know. I'll have to cut across to Monroe. I was going to go to the farmer's market this morning anyway.
Oh, was you?
Yeah. I wanted to get some tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
Well, we had some last night from the farmer's market. They were really good.
Uh-huh.
You know, better than ones I grew this year.
Oh, I tell you, mine was pitiful.
Oh, mine were too.
Oh, I'm just sick over it.
Well, you know, we used to be able to grow tomatoes here without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what has happened?
And everybody we talked to, or I talked to, that has put out tomatoes has got the same story.
Well, you'd think that the government would be coming out with some analysis of what's going on with the tomatoes around here.
I don't have no idea.
Well, I was thinking it was fungus. Then I was thinking it was some kind of tomato blight. then I thought, well, it's the acidity of the soil, and then it wasn't that. And what is it?
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, just what is it?
I'm starting to wonder if this blight or whatever it is comes in the plants that you buy, you know?
Well, it makes you wonder. Now, I didn't have much blight in mine.
Yes, that's good.
Especially the last bunch I set out, I never noticed any blight. But didn't have no tomatoes to mount to anything either.
Right. We had little tiny ones at the end of the season.
Yeah, this little bitty ones. Yeah. Pick them up, and they'd have a little soft spot on them.
And that little soft spot turns to a big soft spot. Yeah. And those box bugs, those little stink bugs, they sink their little probe into those tomatoes, and they leave when they're done, they cause a little white spot on the flesh of the tomato. When you peel that skin off, there it is, you know.
Yep.
Doesn't taste any different, but it's not very appetizing.
No, it's not.
It's not. There's nothing wrong with them, you know. I've eaten a lot of them that had that on them. But anyway, if there's somebody out there that has a cure for the tomato problem, give us a call.
Yes, sir.
812-323-1200.
We'd like to know.
We had a lot of callers last week. We'd like to have at least one of you this morning, if you got the time.
I don't believe any of that Lake Monroe bunch is listening this morning.
Well, you know how it is when you tell somebody that you're on at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it used to be 6 o'clock.
Well,
in the morning.
It used to be six. Yeah,
you're lucky. I'd be on at 7. So. Yeah, I think if you guys are out of bed, give me a call.
Yeah, right.
You can be on the radio with Buddy Bill and Don and Rich.
Hey, even if you're still in bed, you can still call.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Heck,
your phone doesn't require you to be out of bed.
I've done that before.
No.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
When I go out to North Carolina, you don't think I get up and go downstairs and get... No, I just pick up the phone and call.
North Carolina. Well, it's in that time of year I usually go down to the Smokies to go trout fishing.
A lot of nice trout down there, aren't they?
Well, there's trout to catch. Right, and I've caught some, 13, 14 inch fish, which is reasonable.
Right.
Yeah, you know, reasonable. Was that, is that music I hear, Bill?
That's music. I don't know. It's time, our time up.
It says it's, well, no.
It's not up yet, but we'll be taking a break to let the people know where we're at.
Oh, okay. Well, don't go away, folks. Stay right where you're at and give us a call while you're waiting, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, and I got some something to tell you about trout.
Yeah.
When I come back, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually going to contribute something here.
You eat them with the head on or all off?
I would say on.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now we're looking at about 48 degrees in downtown Bloomington. It'll be a high today of 69, low tonight 53, 77 tomorrow, and 79 on Monday. Going to warm up a little bit next week, right around 80, and we're going to have a few T-storms through the week. Mostly sunny by Wednesday. So that's about it for now. Enjoy that Lotus Festival all the way downtown. It's all around this weekend, and good night to check it out. It'll be nice and cool. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we weren't gone too long, I hope.
No.
No. And I think Rich said he had something he wanted to tell about trout. I don't know.
Yes, well, let's hear your trout story.
I was basically going to say that I hooked up with an old friend from high school on Facebook, which is kind of interesting when you see that happen. As you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and ever since, people that they know that I used to know, kind of, some of them are just kind of, but anyway, I've started seeing pictures of them catching trout in Pennsylvania, and that was a big thing that we did back there. Lots of creeks, and of course, we had the Susquehanna River. Not that you would catch a trout in the Susquehanna River. Matter of fact, you don't want to fish for just about anything in the Susquehanna River anymore, but... in those beautiful streams in Pennsylvania, they're catching lots of trout, and it was nice to see some of those rainbows coming out of there.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, Trout Magazine, this last issue, had an article about the Lackawanna.
Yeah.
And apparently had been devoid of fish because of habitat destruction and whatnot. They've spent a lot of money and time and restored much of that stream, and it's producing pretty good fishing now. So I thought you probably even know where the Lackawanna River is.
I certainly do.
Well, I guess it's on its way back.
Well, when he goes to Pennsylvania, he can try it out and see.
That's right.
And let us know.
That's right. I'm sure I want to hear that fishing report.
Too. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right.
Well, it's a beautiful area for fishing, and where I grew up in North Central, right on the Susquehanna River was where I lived, and there were mountains all around, and you'd go up in those mountains, and the creeks were clean and clear as could be with rocks in them, and just great place for fishing. I used to fish all the time up in those little creeks, and there, I shouldn't say little, there, some of them are fairly big because there's a lot of mountains around there. Beautiful fishing there.
Well, those are generally probably freestone streams, and that's where the headwaters usually for trout streams are freestone.
Absolutely.
And, brook trout you could expect to find up there, brown trout probably, maybe some rainbows, kind of mostly stocked nowadays, but there probably are some streams that are still have wild brookies in them. I know there are in the Smokies.
A lot of brook trout there, and once in a while you'll run into a rainbow, like you say, but... Yeah, they used to be everywhere. I mean, you'd go swimming, you'd be feeling them go around your ankles. So it was that
jaws.
Much. Yeah, it was a lot. But a really great place to... people don't think too much about going into places like that, but there's some great fishing there and cool places to get a cabin and spend some time in the mountains. It's a good place that a lot of people don't really know about.
Well, yes, I'd say that's true. And upstate New York is pretty much the same thing, and parts of Ohio. And then you've got the rest of the Appalachians down through West Virginia and North Carolina, Tennessee. There's quite a bit of trout fishing within 800-900 miles of here. Of course, that's not next door. But though, if you like freestone stream fishing, the Appalachians have it. They definitely have it.
In Pennsylvania, did that fracking do anything?
That's where it started.
Yeah, it was where it started. And I'm sure it did something.
Matter of fact, the campground that I got married at, only once, by the way, was Dimmock, Pennsylvania, where they had just about ruined the town. Some farmers allowed the fracking to start there, being told that everything would be wonderful and they make a lot of money, and it just ruined everything. There was a movie made called a guy named Josh Fox, who I've met a few times through the coal country people, made a movie called Gasland, and you can still see that on, I think, on Netflix now, but it's pretty fascinating. If you've ever seen the promo for it, he taking a Bic lighter and turning on the water faucet and lighting it up where it would start flaming and everything.
I've seen that particular footage before.
I have too, yeah.
So, yeah, that's some real polluted water there.
I guess it is. If you turn on the faucet and fire comes out.
Yeah, you got a problem.
Yeah. But well. That's kind of where it all started, or at least they all kind of started noticing it. And that was Dimmock, Pennsylvania, right up by the New York border.
Yes, the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, northern Pennsylvania. Right below the Finger Lakes.
Well, I spent a little time up in that part of the country when I was a younger fellow, and it's really beautiful up in there. If you've never been there, it's worth seeing. This is the time of year, of course, it's crowded. It's just like Brown County all over the place up there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people on the road. So
I've never been there, so might be a good place to go.
Well, I got some factoids that came out of this meeting the other night. Lake Monroe factoids.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, you want some factoids?
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay. When they stocked Lake Monroe,
That
had been 62 to 65.
64, around that time.
Yeah, right. They had lowered the level of the creek as much as they could. They rotenoned, that's fish poison, up and down the Salt Creek and some of the tributary streams and lakes in the watershed and whatnot. The two lakes they did not rotenone in the watershed are Yellowwood Lake and Crooked Creek Lake, which is on the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those have declined because of lack of habitat, habitat being destroyed by sediment. Well, anyway, after they got done doing that, and they'd electrofish to get some of the bigger fish out to save, to put back in, et cetera, et cetera. When they restocked it, they put 12 species of fish in there. Okay. Guess what one of those species was?
Well, bluegill and crappie and walleye and northern and...
No walleye, but northern. They put 48 northern pike. In that,
just 48?
48. And by 1968, there was only 0.1% of them left.
So yeah, I know them.
They didn't survive. I saw a few pictures back in those days of guys who had caught northern.
Right.
And they stocked them in there at 25 inches, something like that. And the ones that I saw caught were just a little bit bigger then, so they didn't last very long.
No, they didn't.
At Lake Monroe. Too much competition, I suppose.
We, at that time when they put them in, we was weighing in about one northern a year.
One a year.
And then it just quit.
Right, yeah.
And I haven't even seen one since.
I'd say the last one was probably 1971 or so, something like that.
You're getting close.
Yeah.
Because we opened in 71.
Uh-huh. And wasn't too long after that.
Wasn't too long after that. We may have started weighing one a year. That's all we've seen.
Well, it's amazing since, if you put them in a lake up north, they take over, just pretty quickly. And I guess there's just too much competition for them there. Of course, Sandra Colax Clark, the Southern Regional Fisheries Biologist lady, supervisor, said that the downfall, and you know when it was too, was when the gizzard shad started showing up at Lake Monroe. That just killed it, really.
Yeah.
It killed the bluegill fish. And there was nice bluegills.
They were. At one time.
You could catch an 8-inch bluegill down there.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Right. And I'd go down there with Dick Dickens and fish that back end of Ramp Creek, Man, you could catch them one after another.
Right.
And not anymore. You can still catch them, but they're small.
They're very small, yes.
4 or 5 inches. They stocked 12 originally. Now there are 29 fish species in Lake Monroe.
Holy cow. I didn't know there's that many species.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more than that. But 29 from 12, that's what they stocked. The rotenone doesn't get little pockets and yada, yada. And a lot of these ones, these extra ones, are ones that would be on the bottom of the creek or up in, a little hole in the bank and stuff like that. But the yellow bass was one of the, first it was yellow bass. Remember that? We actually had the world record yellow bass out of Lake Monroe for a little while.
Long time.
Yeah, and I think somebody else has that now. But In any case, that's one of the species. And we got these gobies out there now, which make up an incredible percentage of the number of fish out in Lake Monroe.
Gobies.
Yeah, little fish, that saltwater kind of fish. But, you know, they've got them in Lake Michigan and around. They came to the St. Lawrence Seaway. You know, saltwater fish, saltwater boats come down, discharge their, pump out their bilges.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they come from, you know. And there's some, you know, there's lots of small fish that you never heard of before.
Evidently.
In Lake Monroe. But those all provide food for walleyes and crappies and other fish that
bass,
need to have.
Catfish.
Yes, just about everything. Angler pressure. This is one other thing. Of course, angler pressure is nothing compared to the boating pressure. You know, there's apparently many, many boats on Lake Monroe, but hardly anybody fishing, at least according to this. There were fishing activity in 2015, 33,000 angler hours of fishing registered. And that means one angler fishing 1 hour is 33,000. Well, you know, that doesn't sound like very much, and it's probably not compared.
Probably ain't compared.
Right, what it used to be. However, largemouth bass, you know, that's the tournament guys. They have constant tournaments down there. There were 66,000 largemouth bass caught. Crappie, they don't have a number on, but there's a lot of them being caught. And the state of anglers, there, the number of anglers has declined regularly and continues to decline all across the country.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about it. The water quality's got everything to do with that, because the fishing isn't as good as it used to be. And
it's not
just here.
It's everywhere.
It really is. It really is everywhere. Except maybe some isolated places up in Iowa, South Dakota, you know, where nobody fishes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the locals do, but it's not big for attracting people. But they're still stocking walleye. Did I tell you that already?
Yeah, you told us that. That kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I'd heard they'd actually quit stocking. Quit stocking.
Well, that's what I thought.
And but they did. She did say they, you know, they were putting bigger than fry in, you know, initially, or all these stockings they were doing at walleye. Next stage up above fry, whatever that is. And instead of, so they couldn't get a steady number of fish. Well, they can get a steady number of fry, so they're stocking nothing but fry now. So they get a lot more to stock. The survival's undoubtedly lower, but at least they're still stocking them, and they provide an interesting fish if you know how to catch them. And they're there, but it's been a really poor year for them this year, is what I've heard. The guys that fish for them say they haven't caught very many. My buddy Denny caught three or four earlier in the year, but I don't think he went. Has gone back out much. So it's they're out there. Bass is always going to be probably the number one fish sought after at Lake Monroe because of the tournament situation.
Right.
And so there's any other little tidbits here? I already told you October 17th for the shoreline cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, that's 4 p.m. at Paintown, and they'll let you in for free at Paintown. You just tell them that you're going down to do the cleanup, and I guess that's all you have to do.
Well, and you can always use reverse cleanup procedure, which means don't throw it down there to begin with.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, gosh, folks, what are we doing throwing stuff around in the lake?
I know a number of people that take a spare garbage bag with them, and they see something along the shore that is really nasty, or a lot of cups and bait boxes and whatnot, we'll stop and pick that stuff up.
Right.
So that's a good tip for anybody to do. You got 5 minutes, you need to get on the shore for some reason or another, take your garbage bag with you.
You're right.
Pick up some stuff.
Or a little plastic bucket or whatever.
Something, right. It doesn't take any time and very little effort. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, be good to your lake, it'll be good to you.
Yeah, I remember the year that it took, what was it, 95 pound or when that bass?
Yes.
2-day bass.
Two-day bass tournament, right.
Took 95 pound or something like that. And the second place was 89.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It never has happened since. And probably never will.
You're talking about the weight of the fish.
You're right.
Right. That's what I was
six,
six fish?
Fish limit, see.
Six fish that weighed 95 pounds. 6-1. That's over 10 pounds of fish. That's pretty suspicious. I don't know, man. It's 7:57 according to the clock on the wall.
Is it?
We're about ready to get out of here.
Oh, my goodness gracious sakes. So, folks, we've got to get out of here, I guess. He says we're running out of time. So, everybody have a good week. Enjoy this weather. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.